Hello, and welcome to ProU Podcast, episode number 287, focusing on Zen. Well, this was kind of one of those cool happenstancy things. Is that a word? Happenstancy? Well, now it is. There you go. You're welcome. I was trying to kind of come up with this title, and you know, one of my favorite quotes I got on a coffee mug a couple years ago from a client says, "Dog is my Zen." And I just love that because, you know, Zen is my dog. But my canoe was a little tipsy in February, and I understood why. And at the end of February, I felt a lot better. And I'm always saying it's, you know, it's not how you begin the day, it's how you finish. It's not how you begin the week, month, not how you begin the workout. It's not how you begin, it's how you finish. And it was the last 2 days in February, and there was a calm. And I know exactly what I did to achieve that. And I just focused on Zen. Which, you know, is kind of this play on words, is focusing on my dog, my best friend, means that my time and energy is going to something that I can control. It's time to go for a walk. Let me take you to the park. Let me lay with you. Let me focus on you. What do you need to do? Meanwhile, that's purple. There's no yellow. I'm not thinking about the bills. I'm not thinking about the insurance, car insurance. I'm not thinking about what ifs. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. So it is focusing, kind of a play on words, on being Zen, on calming the mind, on being meditative. And then I searched, which is not hard, for a picture of Zen. I have thousands of them. But there's this, the last time I was at the beach, he sat kind of on the edge of this little bank in the sand. And I was, you know, finding some rocks. And, you know, we kind of have little things we play fetch. And he rests, and then I bounce, and he goes hunting. And, you know, we have all these little different moments. And he was just pretty chill. We were, you know, kind of the end, and he was done. But he sat. He didn't lay down, but he sat. You know, on his booty, front legs straight, on this bank, just kind of looking out for like, it was at least, I want to say an hour, but it was at least a half an hour. And I started taking pictures of him. When I got home, there was one where his eyes are closed, and I go, it looks like he's just sitting in the sand on that bank meditating. Because if he's laying down, it's like, well, he's sleeping. And I was like, well, focusing on Zen. Look at, I'm focusing on Zen, my attention, my camera, through my viewfinder, and look what he's doing. You know, it's like he's meditating. And it just kind of brought the whole moment together in this episode because, you know, it is not, you know, the high highs and the low lows every month with those type of stories. It's about, and this is for you, how you are responding, how I'm responding. Am I responding better now than I was 4 episodes ago, 14 episodes ago, 40 episodes ago? Because I'm not going to get to perfection. I'm not going to get to where I'm not tested. I'm not going to get where, yep, canoe never gets rattled. Because there will be things to just do because I'm wonderfully flawed. I'm imperfect. I'm human. I'm a unique little snowflake like us all. But what I can do is really watch and monitor how I respond, and then don't beat myself up, and how February ended, and how March began. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed how I felt, and I loved the atmosphere between my ears. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Enjoy. A life lesson. There once was a bunch of tiny frogs who arranged a competition. The goal was to reach the top of a very high tower. a big crowd had gathered around the tower to see the race and cheer on the contestants. The race began. Honestly, no one in the crowd really believed that the tiny frogs would reach the top of the tower. You heard statements such as, "Oh, way too difficult. They will never make it to the top," or "Not a chance that they will succeed. The tower is too high." The tiny frogs began collapsing, one by one, except for those in a fresh tempo were climbing higher and higher. The crowd continued to yell, "It is too difficult. No one will make it." More tiny frogs got tired and gave up, but one continued higher and higher and higher. This one wouldn't give up. At the end, everyone else had given up climbing the tower, except for the one tiny frog that, after a big effort, was the only one who reached the top. Then all of the other tiny frogs naturally wanted to know how this frog managed to do it. A contestant asked the tiny frog how the one who succeeded had found the strength to reach the goal. It turned out that the winner was deaf. The wisdom of the story: never listen to others' people's tendencies to be negative or pessimistic, because they will take your most wonderful dreams and wishes away from you, the ones you have in your heart. Always think of the power words have, because everything you hear and read will affect your actions. Therefore, always be positive. Above all, be deaf when people tell you that you cannot fulfill your dreams. Always think, "I can do this. I can and I will." Author unknown. A second one. How do you live your dash? I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came her date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now, only those who loved her know what the little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. That can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy's being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about you and how you spent your dash? Author unknown. Well, February was a bit of a trying month for little old Tommy Lama. And I've spoken quite often about, you know, when the land narrows, the water becomes more turbulent, and typically on the other side opens up to the Zen pond. And I always think about, you know, realize what you have. You know, you're in this canoe and you're sitting in that Zen pond. And if you're not being thankful for that, then that's your problem. And sitting deep in that canoe so as it isn't to wobble by the littlest ripple or wind or any distraction. You're just sitting deep in your canoe, highly aware of how good you have it right now. That's kind of my goal. That's kind of what I'm shooting for when I always talk about the canoe. It's kind of, I don't know, it's the picture It's the vision of a goal. But I never even talked like that until I was 52. You know, never even mentioned a canoe in a Zen pond and trying to stay there and if it's being rocked at all. So this is kind of like the big moral to the story is I have to keep being positive and supportive and loving and kind to myself because I'm better than ever. But when you start looking into these things, these unhealthy traits that you have or the things you'd like to change, they've been there for a long time or they may have been there for a long time. In my case, you know, 48 years I did A and the last six I did B. And the last two, best 2 years of my life. And I learned the most about myself. And I loved how I grew and I was happy with myself and proud of myself and liked myself. And I was excited kind of for the first time in my life. But it didn't mean the tough days didn't go away. It didn't mean that the things that I struggled with went away. It didn't mean that my wonderfully flawed traits went away. So it's going, okay, you still have those and you're doing better. Yay. You still fight with that thing, but not as often. Yay. For me, I have to yell pretty loud for my little meter to move a little bit. So I was, you know, trained to be hard on myself. And that's the way I rolled for 48 years. So undoing that, it just takes so much time. And, you know, there'll be days when I'm, you know, disappointed or frustrated with how I responded. And then I got to stop it. That's the problem. You can't get through what you're going through and then, oh, I wish I would have done better. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You got through it. And there's just, you know, there's moments where I'm really trying to cut myself slack. You know, I didn't have the worst childhood, but I didn't have the best childhood. And so those things that I'm wanting to fix, that's the positive. Like, I'm wanting to be a better me. Anger, you know, reduced, you know, less reaction, just all that. I just want that. And I'm like, well, that's a great thing to want. Don't be stressed about it. Don't beat yourself up about it. So one of the things that was, you know, if it deals with Zen, it's going to hit a button. And he's had two hematomas in his one ear. And it's kind of like these little pockets fill up with blood. It's like, don't let your dog shake his head. Because the ears flap and then the hematomas fill up with blood. And if they don't go away after a certain amount of time, you need to have surgery and get them fixed or removed. So he had two in one ear, and they both went away. And he got a third one in his other ear, and it's lasted almost 2 months. And it was just stressful to me. So that added to the month. And it was on my mind, you know, February is a short month, and you got rent coming. And then I got noticed with the car insurance hike. And I was just, you know, it was familiar. Oh, this and that, all piling up, money, oh, what am I going to do? And it was not long after that I was more bummed that that had affected me, that I had let it just kind of engulf me. Like I was now in the water, the fish not knowing it was in water going, wow, look how bad it is. And it was... And again, this is the growth. And I'm trying to grab onto the growth. You know, I'm trying to pat myself on the back. But I remember I got to a place I was just like, okay, stop. You have the money to pay this. Unexpected or not, wanted or not. Just stop. And it's kind of been a go-to when things get a little funky, but I'm like, I'm just going to try to focus on Zen. Like going for a walk and I'm watching him and, you know, connected with him, come home and play and then I feed him and then, you know, lay with him and then, you know, the next time I'm like, okay, later in the afternoon we'll go to the dog park and walk and I'll just be focused on you. And I remember this is how the first day went. And I was like, so if I just don't think about it, it goes away. And it's like, well, if you don't think about things, you just don't feel bad. It doesn't make them go away, but thinking about them doesn't change. For example, I got to pay that bill in 4 days. I'm bumming. I got to pay that bill in 3 days. I'm bumming. I got to pay that bill in 2 days. I'm bumming. It's like you're wrecking all of those days, those moments, by carrying this thought. You're not present. You're not the best you. And that's what I was able to do. I felt very peaceful. And I was like, okay, that bill hasn't gone away. You know, rent's due tomorrow. It's like, none of it's changed, but I just felt better. I'm like, that's the point. I need to focus on Zen, and it brings me into the moment, because that's how dogs are. And when I'm in the moment thinking about right now, there's not a lot of bad. I'm healthy. My dog's healthy. I'm with my dog. I mean, no one's shooting at me. No one's trying to beat me up. I got food in the fridge. You know, it's like, there's not a lot of bad. And that's starting to kind of blow up a little more, and I'm starting to recognize it more. And again, a muscle that you've worked consistently over a period of time is just going to be a little bit stronger. But I was just aware that nothing had really changed. But those 2 days were just peaceful. And it was like, well, if I can create this anytime, then I should create this anytime I can, anytime I remember. So it was the last day of February. Check the envelope. There's rent. I wondered if I was going to have it October, November, December, January, and then obviously February because of blah, blah, blah. And there it was. And it's like, wow. Again, hey, I'm worried about rent. Oh, I got it. Hey, I'm worried about rent. Oh, I got it. Hey, I'm worried about it. It's like, why are you worried about it? You've made it, and if you didn't make it, you have some. So, what? But it took 53 years for me to get to this point where I'm wanting, willing, and able to look at myself very closely and try to pick apart and discard the bits and pieces I don't like. And it's mainly because I can. You know, right around 53-ish, I started realizing that I can start controlling my thoughts. And that's not something I'm proud of. It took you 53 years to do that? Yep, there we go. That's me, wonderfully flawed. So, I get up first day of March. I pay my rent. And there's a whole level of peace that I was feeling. And again, part of it, I had rent, it's paid, but you know, again, that always comforts me, which is what it is. But I still had the insurance bill. You know, I still had everything else, but I was so peaceful. And it was one of those moments where, you know, you got to run errands, like you got to get gas, or you got to get dog food, or you got to get dog treats, or you got to get groceries, or you got to get whatever. And I had all that stuff. And I'm like, I just paid rent. And I had no errands to run. I had no things to buy, no things to get. Zen was taken care of. And that was the day I was like, wow. If I could feel like this. But that was weird. Because like, well, you can. You just did. And not because things were perfect. But I'm thinking 48 hours of focusing on Zen and staying in the moment is what really got me to that place going, look, if you stay here, Tom, you're going to deal better, cope better, do better, feel better. Now, it's not always easiest to stay there, to be there, to get there. Again, especially when you're that fish in water. Talking to a couple different clients and telling them, you know, when you slip a little bit to that, you know, you go backwards one step, now watch out. Because 2, 3, and 4 happen really quick. And before you know it, now you're that fish that doesn't know what's in water. So it's really being mindful about not slipping that first step. And maybe that's, hey, I had a funky day, so I ate bad, and then I slept bad, and then I woke up cranky, and then I was this thing at work. I was, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. All right. See what happened? All of a sudden, you got really funky, and you were fish in water, thinking it was a work thing, and it wasn't. You had made a bad choice and ate bad, which made you feel funky, which made your sleep funky, which then, you know, it just magnifies what's going on. So you got to catch it quick, as quickly as you can. And then be really happy that you caught it and that you stopped it. So again, I was just feeling like, okay, I know I was a little wobbly in the canoe in February, but I was in the canoe. I talked about being in the canoe. I never talked about being in the canoe, meaning I was trying to stay there mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm good. I'm thankful. I have. I need not. I'm good. I'm blessed. You know, doing the thank yous 30 times a day. I'm still there. But within that parameter, there's a little flexibility for me to have these up and down days. And like I said, I was talking to these clients. I'm like, look, you know, you got to understand that we're going to still have those things. You know what I mean? They're going to come up once in a while. And we got to be okay with that. And going, okay, watch how better I am with dealing with my flaws. Watch how better I am at responding. Watch how better I am at not judging and critiquing myself than I was last year, than I was 5 years ago, or whatever. So I was talking to this client, and they said, when you leave here today and you go down to your car, do you ever go, I was kind of hoping it was different, newer? Chuckled and laughed. I said, you go down and you expect that car, right? Yep. I got you here today fine. Yep. Oh, so that means there's no problems with it? And he chuckled. I go, can you tell me, if I asked, the things that were wrong with your car right now? And he said, yeah, I do. What do you want to know? I'll tell you right now. And he could have just listed them. I said, okay, fine. Don't need to know. As far as what it did for you today, if you were to give it a grade, how did your car do today? He goes, got me here. Give it an A. I said, perfect. In lieu of all of the problems that you know your car has today, it just got you here, which is all you needed. So your car got an A today. Everybody wins. Everybody feels good. See, that's how we should look at your life. You know you're not good at that. You know you struggle with that. You know you have a hard time in those moments. How are you right now? Good. Did you get to work out? Yes. Did your car make it? Yes. Wow. Look how great your life is right now. And again, mentally, manually, shifting that perspective again and again and again and again will make it better. And, you know, my client, I keep coming up with these analogies for him. And then I said, you know, you used to get here almost every session, you know, to the workout and go, here's what's going on. Here's the problem. Here's my struggle. Now, if something like that comes up, it's like, well, it's kind of funky, but by the time I got here, I was fine. And I'm like, that's the vista that you should stay. Looking at that. Wow. I was always struggling. And I got here and shared my struggles. Now I understand the struggle. I get through the struggle. And I tell the whole beginning, middle, and end when I get here. And I made it to the workout. And I feel better at the workout. And I did all that myself. Wow, look how great you are. And again, I'm telling this client, telling this client, telling this client. It's because like me, he was one way for a bunch of years, and now he's trying to undo, redo some new things. So the bonus was, it was going to rain, I think, like the next 2 days. So Saturday, it wasn't going to be, it was March 2nd. It wasn't going to be like a you know, fabulous day or anything, but I said, well, it's supposed to start raining. And so I went, and another amazing day at the beach, and, you know, kind of cooler, cloudy, might rain, might not. So like really nobody's there. And I love when it's low tide because you can just walk forever. And I went to my close beach, which is Topanga, and it was just amazing. And I don't say that in a weird way, but like sometimes I forget how wonderful it is to be at the beach alone with my dog, and how thankful I feel. It's like, wow, it's this date, it's this day, it's this whatever, and you're at the beach with your dog alone, and you get to just be here. Everything else is okay. And it was that empowering moment and that peaceful moment. And I was like, well, nothing really matters. And to me, those 2 days when I focused on Zen created that kind of atmosphere between my ears. And then March 1st, I kind of celebrated that atmosphere between my ears. And then on March 2nd, I just went back out into the world with that atmosphere in between my ears. And you can enjoy your life so much more when you have the correct atmosphere between your ears. So, you know, Zen is my good. Dog is my Zen. And the beach is my church. You know, so I'm there connected, and I've never left the beach going, okay, this is what I need to do. So I was talking to Scotty McHottie Mosher, and we emailed him, and he said something. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read that. Your comfort zone is where you sit. We talk about the canoe and being deep, which is important, but we must push into rocky waters to test that depth. That is how we grow. Discomfort creates growth. What I am telling you is when you want something, you must push yourself out into new spaces, spaces of discomfort. Because the thing you want is not in your comfort zone. Otherwise, you wouldn't need it. So, not a big fan of 90210, although I lived in Beverly Hills for a minute. But the show, wasn't a fan of the show. But just a few days ago, Luke Perry passed away. And it was the day before, I just caught this news thing that said he had a stroke. And that was it. And then it showed like an interview. And he said, yeah, I want, you know, I got two kids. I want to live as long as I want, you know, be healthy, this and that. And so in my mind was kind of like he had a stroke, you know, a couple days ago, but it was over. And then the next day I get up and I'm in my car and it's like, Luke Perry passed, 52. And I was like, it just tripped me out. Like, again, you know, different things hit you at different time. But again, not a fan of, and he's on a new show right now where he plays a father. And I haven't watched that show again. Not a fan, so I didn't have a connection or anything. But it was just, oh, that guy had a stroke. That's weird. He's kind of, you know, young for having a stroke. And that was it. And then all of a sudden he was gone. And I guess he actually had a major stroke and never came out of it, you know, never came to. And I guess they were hoping they're trying to protect his brain or keep his brain from working or whatever they were doing. And he just never came out of it. And I was like, I just seen like his two children in this picture when he was talking. And I was like, wow, he's gone. Like those two kids lost their father. And it just bummed me out, you know. I mean, made me sad. You know, a guy was, you know, working for a long time and everybody spoke really highly of him. And, you know, after this had came out, you know, people were just saying some incredible things about him. And I was like, wow. I mean, it wasn't like he was unhealthy and not able to work and sitting around bumming out. I mean, dude was working. He was, everything was, and I guess he had gone through like a thing of cancer before. So I know he had some rough patches, but I mean, boom, 52 stroke, 4 days later, gone from the earth. And I want that to affect me, you know? In 4 days, I'm gone. I look back going, wow, outside of those, you know, last 2 days in February, look what was on your mind. Look what you were thinking about. I just say that all the time to people. Like if it ended right now, you'd stop and what would you think about? You'd think about what you were thinking about. You know, I'm gone and that's what I was worried about. That was my energy was going towards that. Instead of just being thankful every day for what I had. So, I've always said if I see someone getting a ticket, I want to drive better. If I see someone getting into a fender bender, I want to drive better. I want to be affected by the things around me versus them happening to me. So I always want to be in that, just that open place. And like I said, it's like, wow, 52 and you could be gone. With so much left undone. And remember that as you walk the earth. So I'm just reading little bits and pieces here that I had collected throughout the week. This one is from Emma Knight, and I'm thinking grade school. It's kind of on a, looks basically like a grade school homework assignment. It says, when I am 100 years old, and it's celebrating the 100th day of school. It's got lines and just her penmanship. You're guessing she's in grade school. When I turn 100 years old, I will be tired of everything and everyone. So I will tell everyone I'm going to Canada. But actually, go to the Bahamas. I'll live in a tiny hut with my tiny dog. I will order fish tacos when I'm hungry. And I will live my best life with no crap. I thought that was brilliant. It's kind of what I'm doing right now. And I'm not 100 yet. This was just a quote. It said, you can rewire your brain to be happy by simply recalling three things you're grateful for every day for 21 days. There you go. And I remember this saying, it was like, 7 days to instill a habit, 21 days to break a habit, that kind of a thing, you know, which it all kind of falls along the same line. But, you know, again, what I do, you know, be mindful, be thankful, be grateful, you know, saying thank you 30 times a day. I mean, rewiring that brain or redoing those grooves. And if you got a big, big, thick groove like me and you're undoing it and making a new one, it just takes a lot of time. So I'm trying to do it a whole lot, because the harder I push, the louder I yell, you know, a little bit more, I'm going to move that meter. And this is how to stop negative thoughts. One, change your brain waves by spending 10 minutes a day breathing in sequence. Two, when the negative thought comes up, say, not true. I like that one. Basic. Three, visualize the image of the thought shrinking until it disappears. That's kind of cool, because again, that's a purple thing. You're thinking of this thing happening to this thing, and all of a sudden you're out of it. Four, visualize positive situations instead. Your brain doesn't know what's reality and what's imaginary. And that's, there it is, right there. You know what I mean? Your brain doesn't know. You can let that story just run and play out, and you can be tired and exhausted and want to cry, and nothing even really happened to you. All right, last one. Change your pattern of negative thinking by adding a new routine to your thought process, daily reflection, affirmation, or meditation. Shock it up. I mean, that's what I've done at the gym, you know, working out. I mean, my goal for my clients, myself, is, okay, today I'm going to do something different than I did yesterday or the day before or last week. Or if I'm doing, you know, I'm going to do upper body today, it's going to be everything different than what I'd done previously. Why? Shock. Why do you want to shock your system? Because that's where growth occurs. So it's that same thing. If you're kind of going through this redundancy of a day and you kind of want to shock it, there you go. Just stop, be thankful, read some affirmations, meditate, breathe, go outside, you know, just changing it. You know, you're inside thinking, feeling one thing, and if you walked out the door, automatically things would change. It's just different stimulus, you know, and different things react. And, you know, again, just by changing your location, you can stimulate different thoughts and different feelings. So remember that. So I'm going to end with the, well, it's not embarrassing, but again, it's, you know, me reflecting and wanting to be better at things. And it was, I don't know, second, third day of March. And again, had that really cool, peaceful, you know, just everything was calm. And I just loved how quiet the atmosphere was between my ears. And I'm one of these people that, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. So the dude that lives down the way here, my neighbor that I dislike, you know, we have X amount of cars, spots for our cars, you know, in the back, and it's tandem parking. So homeboy, you know, in the past would have his boyfriend's car, and they would, I'm like, how do you, you know, it says no guest parking, and no one else gets to have friends, guests, relatives, anyone else park in the parking lot. And then they were down to one car, and they were sharing the car. And I'm like, yeah, you guys don't really live here, but you're sharing one car. And, you know, just kind of sit there and, you know, again, this little conversation, this little movie in my head. So he just got a new car. And I see it, the, you know, guy who's actually a tenant, he's parking his truck on the street, and his boyfriend's parking in the spot. And I was like, how, you know, out of 20 apartments, how does he get to do these things? You know, I'm not even going to go through it, but he's just been a bad tenant. You know, at one point, you know, they were talking about evicting him and trying to evict him. So, I mean, it's, you know, kind of been on the radar. But I started seeing this, and it was like the third day, and I'm like, how? And then I stopped. And this was, again, it's that, like, embarrassing thing, but I did good. I was like, okay, are they thinking about you? Apartments number 15. I'm 11. I go, dude's in apartment 15. They thinking about you? Like if I was talking to a client. No, I would be pretty sure that they're not thinking about me at all. Exactly. Is anyone else in the apartment complex thinking about why he gets to park that car there? That was just probably not. And why are you thinking about it? What is it doing to you exactly? How is it affecting you? You know, if I got punched, if I got kicked, if I got stabbed, if I got spit on, if I got pushed, if I got hit, knocked over, okay, that is how it affected me. What is this doing to you? And it was weird because I was like kind of drilling myself. And I'm like, I just don't really care. It doesn't affect me. And there was this shift. And then I stopped and I think I was going to walk in. I was thinking, I go, you know what happens? Hey, everything's paid. I'm pretty cool with that bill. You know, car insurance bill. I'm comfortable. I'll handle it. I'm feeling better. Zen's healthy. His ears healed. You know, no surgery. I'm feeling better. We're outside walking. And I'm like, well, why did that? And I'm like, there it is. Things get a little good and I get a little bored. And then I allow these stupid thoughts to come in my head. And all of a sudden I'm feeling a certain way. I was like, I have a little bit of anger because that guy over there is doing something that isn't right. Okay. How long do you want to do that for? You know, it's the two monks. And the one said, you know, I carried that woman across that river for 15 seconds. You've been carrying her. And the fact that I carried her for 3 hours. And I'm like, no one really cares what that dude is doing outside of the, you know, manager and the owner. And that's their thing. It has nothing to do with me. And if I'm so bored that I want to choose to think about it, I can. But when I go, you're thinking about it because you're bored because there's nothing occupying space between your ears right now. And I was like, I got to stop that. And I did fairly well, and I could feel the shift. And I was telling a client about this, and I said, I really, really could tell that I was feeling differently about that. And this is, you know, 2 years with this guy. So it wasn't this easy, but all of a sudden I was like, I don't really see him. I don't really feel that. I don't really care anymore. Whatever. I was like, okay, get back to me. Get back to my life. Get back to what's important. And, you know, and again, it's like when I really focused on Zen, it brings me into the moment. And again, that pro-you box of tools, you know, just keep building them. Whatever you need, whatever you use, however you incorporate it into your life, if it helps you become a better you, do it. Do it consistently. Do it frequently. Because you are worth it. Super stoked you're here. Let's just get into that, which makes us present, which connects us, which grounds us, which centers us, which provides a platform for in this moment becoming a better us. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can. Don't trip if you can't. But we will be seated, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. That's our framework, foundation. Now we're going to draw that inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow it down, elongate it. It's going to take a little focus, but that will connect our mind to our body, make us present for this moment. Feel that breath, experience that breath, be that breath. Anything else enters the space between your ears, calmly, quietly, kindly ask it to leave and return to your breath. You will do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Congratulations on a successful Pro U moment. And I hope you're feeling better. It wasn't that difficult to see my growth. When I look back on a moment, a day, a week, a season. But how I treated myself in my mind, the voice I allowed, was not always kind and supportive. The critic, the judgmental, that voice was always present, was very, very familiar. So what I try to work on is just seeing the slightest improvement in how I respond. And then I really work on hugging myself, loving myself, congratulating myself. Because for 48 years, it was really easy to focus on what was wrong, what was bad, what I didn't have, what others said, what others felt, what others thought. And that would have continued had I not stopped it from continuing. What you allow to continue will. So now I can talk about finding peace, how good it feels, and my yearning to find more of it, how I found it. Can I do that again? How long did it take? Can I do it faster? Can I waste less time and energy on that which does not serve me? Whatever it is, find that thing that you can focus on that makes you present, that makes you feel good, that fills your cup, that makes you feel thankful, grateful, good, better. I focus on Zen. May you find your Zen. Peace and God bless.